Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. We're thankful for another day in the Lord. Amen. If you want to take your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 6. That is where our message will be coming from. John chapter 6. The title of this message could be offensive to some. It says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." You ever made a statement or heard someone make a statement and immediately react to the statement? Just think about this. Usually you would say something like, "Yeah, right. What if I were to say to you, I can fly?" Really? Yeah? Your thoughts are going to go in different directions as soon as I say that, right? What are you going to imagine what I'm saying? You're saying, can he really flap his arms and fly? I'd like to see you get this body off the ground. Or maybe I'm saying to you, I can fly an airplane. So then again, you say, well, your imagination goes, is he talking about flying like this, or with buttons on or is he inside a cockpit flying? Or I could say I was riding my bike and I was really flying. Then you would think, oh, another way of flying, right? Well, this is so true of what our Lord said. The statement our Lord made. John 6:53, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And John 6:60 says, when the people heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to you this morning, as we bring before you your word, speak through this servant of yours, speak to our hearts, open our eyes and our ears, help us to understand that which you have for us to hear this morning, and may we leave here refreshed, knowing your truth, and we give you praise in your precious name. Amen. If you have your Bible there and turn to John chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it would take too long to do that. But I just want to point some things out. If you look at John chapter 6, verse 32, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." You look at verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." If you look at verse 41, the Jews murmured and said, "How can he say, I am the bread of life which come down from heaven?" And if you look at verse 48, Jesus makes the statement very clear, "I am that bread of life." And then in 50, he says, "This is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." This is what we want to look at this morning. We want to understand this statement, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," which if you were to read a lot of commentaries and hear a lot of sermons, that's all over the place on this. Even the people that were standing there listening to the Lord could not understand what he was saying. The problem was most people think the horizontal, that is fleshly, not vertical, not that which has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, nor that which is of the Spirit. And that's why many people stumble at this passage of Scripture and have all kinds of different interpretations. One of the things that we need to think about that is this, Jesus is talking about he is the true bread of life. Not the bread that you eat. Not the bread that you labor for. But the bread that gives life to the soul. If you look at Isaiah 55:2, and if you want to turn there, that's up to you, Isaiah 55:2, and it says this, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." If we grasp that idea, we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 begins with the Lord Jesus Christ taking people outside of the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum area, and up into a mountainous area that's full of green pasture and water. If you look at John chapter 6, 1 to 14, that's what this is saying and all about. And it is here in this beautiful area. The people follow Jesus. They're there to see the miracles. They're there to hear his teaching. And as they're up in this mountainous area, Jesus had gone up there with his disciples to teach his disciples and to pray. And Jesus, while he was there, would feed the 5,000. And so, plus women and children, so there was quite a big number of people that the Lord Jesus Christ was feeding there. Then after he feeds them, he goes off to a mountain to pray by himself, and he sends the disciples out in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. This is also in John chapter 6. And while the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, they encounter a storm. And the Lord Jesus, as he's praying, sees him in the storm and comes out and walks on the Sea of Galilee and comes to the ship and gets in the ship. And immediately the ship is in a calm sea, and immediately they're at the place or destination of Capernaum where Jesus had sent them. It's at this point in verse 25 of chapter 6 that we find the people coming to find Jesus because they saw that ships were all gone, and he didn't get in the ship, so where is he? So they were looking for him and finally found him at Capernaum. It's at this point where there is a dialogue that takes place between the Lord Jesus and those who were trying to find him. And it says in verse 25, they said to him, "How'd you get here?" Now, Jesus doesn't answer that question in the manner that they ask. But he says to them, "Verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the multitudes, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." What he was talking about then, they say to him then, "Well, you know, Moses gave us food to eat," saying, of course, that he gave them food to eat as well, and this is what we want you to do. We want you to continue giving us that food. The Lord tells them, don't go laboring for the meat that perishes, but labor for the meat that gives everlasting life, in verse 27. And of course they say, well, what is this work we have to do? And he says a very important thing in verse 29. He said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he sent." And that's a very important thing for us to see and understand, that you believe on him who he has sent. Now, that manna that was provided by God in the wilderness was a picture and a type of Jesus Christ. That manna came during the dark hours of the morning. Jesus Christ came in the darkness of the world. It was a small item, representing our Lord's humility. It was round, representing our Lord's eternality. It was white, representing our Lord's purity. It was sweet, representing our Lord's taste. It met the need of the physical. It satisfied the physical completely and gave them good health and strength. This bread was a gift from God. This bread was what God had gave, not Moses. But this bread that God had given to the children of Israel only satisfied the flesh. And this is where the people were at in thinking about this, that we want you to continue to feed us. Wouldn't it be great every day if all you had was food to eat, manna from heaven, and quail flying in at night? No work, no labor for any food whatsoever. And this manna from heaven sustained you for all the rest of your life. No problems. Really? There's more. There needs to be a satisfaction of the soul. Notice when we read the passage this morning, we see that they could take the manna as much as they wanted. They had to eat all they took, though. They couldn't leave it overnight. Notice also that this bread, this manna, was given to a rebellious people who murmured and complained all the time. But God met their every need. It's interesting how he still is doing that even this very day. Jesus said to them in John chapter 6, verse 32, "Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread, but my Father giveth you the true bread. For the bread of God is which come down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." They said, "Lord, we want that bread. That's what we want, to be fed all the time, no work." Jesus says to them, "I am that bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Here's the key passage that we need to hear and understand to understand why he says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." He says, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Eating his flesh, drinking his blood. The eating, the heavenly bread, is going to give eternal life. Just as you eat earthly bread and it sustains your life here on earth, the true bread will sustain you eternally. Your soul, your whole complete being. In John 6:29, Jesus said, "This is the work, that ye believe on him who hath he hath sent." Chapter 6, verse 47, if you look at that, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 6, verse 50, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Believe by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ," fully recognizing him as Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Savior. That's eating his flesh. Drinking his blood is the blood that was poured out on the cross of Calvary. It says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." And he says, "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul." Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Jesus is not talking about literally eating his flesh. Jesus is not talking about literally drinking his blood. Jesus is not encouraging us to be a cannibal. God even speaks in the Old Testament that the soul that eats blood or drinks blood or eats flesh with blood in it shall surely die. He condemned anything that had to do with cannibalism. Look at John 6:63. It says this: "It is the spirit that quickeneth. It is the flesh that profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life." You can look these verses up if you desire. Psalm 34:8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him." Taste and see, the one who trusts in him. Psalms 119:103, it says, "How sweet are your words to my taste." Eating the word of God, it's like honey in my mouth. That's what he's talking about. John chapter 1 says, Jesus became flesh. He is the word that became flesh. Eat the word. John 4:14, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst," he says. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What was he talking about? The Spirit of God living in and through someone who receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus said, "I'm the true bread that come down from heaven." John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior." That's what he's talking about. He says, "I am the bread of life." This is a one-time transition, John 6:48. "I am the bread of life." You don't continuously receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't receive him and lose him. You don't continuously eat him every time you take communion or whatever like that. There's this teaching that says they take the wafer and pray over it, and somehow it supposedly becomes miraculously the body of Christ. And if you take of that wafer, then you're taken of the body of Christ and you're eating the body of Christ. They tell you that this juice that you drink out of the cup is, they pray over it and do their miraculous thing, and it becomes the blood of Christ. Then you're drinking the blood of Christ. Many people believe that every time they take communion, they receive Jesus. They eat his flesh and drink his blood. I want you to think about something. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. The Bible says the devil is a liar, he has no truth in him, and he doesn't know how to speak a word of truth, and all he speaks is lies. And people teach this and preach this, and people believe this lie and end up spending eternity in hell. John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever." The living true bread. Because this living true bread is that I will give is my flesh. How did he give his flesh? He went to the cross. He willingly died on a cross. He gave his life. Nobody could take it. There was no death in him. There was no sin in him. So he laid down his life. He gave his life. He willingly gave his flesh for the life of the world. Not so that we could eat it in the sense of cannibalism, but that we come to him and believe on him that he died for our sins so that we could receive him as our Savior, that he would become our Redeemer and our Lord, and we would have eternal life. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. How long is eternal life? Forever. Once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is eternal. Jesus is that eternal Son of God. Look at John chapter 6, verse 53 again. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. If you have eternal life, I will raise you up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, in verse 56, what does it say? He dwelleth in me, and I dwell in him. Jesus Christ comes and takes up our abode in him. We become a part of him. He says, as a living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to understand that this is not talking about the Lord's table. This passage is not talking about communion. You don't see communion in here. You don't see the Lord's table in here. That's so many people take this passage and turn it where it's not. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about you receiving the bread, the true bread that came down for him. The one who gave his life on the cross for your sins. He's not talking about the horizontal bread that supplies food to your body. He's talking about the true bread from heaven. Jesus is telling the people he came to give them life. They must partake of him, receive him, come to him to have that life. Turn your Bible, if we will, to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, we have seen it, we bear witness, we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, communion together with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. How do you have that fellowship? When you eat bread, it becomes a part of your body. It enhances and helps your body to live and survive. When you eat of the Lord Jesus Christ by receiving him as your Savior and eating his word and studying his word, he becomes a part of your eternal soul. And it gives you life that is eternal and helps your soul to live and grow and be and have him living in and through you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the whole world. That's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 6. The communion table is a table of fellowship. The communion table is a time where we fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The communion table is a memorial. It's set up to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 24. And it says, and when he gave thanks, he brake it. What did he break? That piece of bread that he had. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." It was a piece of bread, unleavened bread. It was not God's flesh, or the Son of God's flesh. And he said, "This is the memorial. Remember what I did for you." After the same manner, in verse 25, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it." You're not drinking his blood. You're drinking the juice of the grape. And it is a representation, not becomes. And why do we do it? As a memorial, it says, remembering him shedding his blood for you. And he says, "As often as you do this table of communion and eat this drink and eat this bread and drink this cup, you are remembering the Lord's death till he comes." We're going to partake of the communion table this morning. And in so doing, the Lord Jesus Christ says this: don't come to the communion table haphazardly. But first of all, go back to John chapter 6 and recognize that you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come to him, believe in him, trust in him, and receive him as your Savior so that you know when you do take of the table of the Lord, you're remembering what God has done for you. Oh, that we would consider and remember and not think by doing something fleshly like eating and drinking, we're taking in the Lord Jesus Christ, but that by faith receiving his word, his truth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you that you have shown us this truth and help us to see what it means to know you personally. In our precious name, amen.